ते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततोऽजयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी। हरे कृष्ण। सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 10th चैप्टर 44th द किलिंग ऑफ कंस टेक्स 19। तैस्तैर्नियुद्ध विधिभिर् तैस्तैर्नियुद्ध विधिभिर् विविधैर् अच्युतेतरौ विविधैर् अच्युतेतरौ युयुधाते यथान्योन्यम् युयुधाते यथान्योन्यम् तथैव बलमुष्टिकौ तथैव बलमुष्टिकौ तैस्तैर्नियुद्ध विधिभिः विविधैर अच्युतेतरौ युयुधाते यथान्योन्यम् तथैव बलमुष्टिकौ तैस्तैर्नियुद्ध विधिभिः विविधैर अच्युतेतरौ युयुधाते यथान्योन्यम् तथैव बलमुष्टिकौ। Word by word meaning Taistai with all these Niyuddha of wrestling Vidibhi techniques Vividhai various Achyuta itarau Lord Achyuta and his opponent Yudhate fought Yatha as अन्योन्यम विथ ईच अदर तथा एव जस्सो बलमुष्टिको लॉर्ड बलराम एंड मुष्टिको. Translation: Lord Balram and Mushtik, expertly displaying numerous wrestling techniques, battled each other in the same way that Lord Krishna and his opponent did. There is no purport, so we'll go to the next. Text 20. Translation: The harsh blows from the Supreme Lord's limbs fell like crushing lightning bolts upon Chanura, breaking every part of his body and causing him more and more pain and fatigue. Purport: Chanura's elbows, arms, knees and other limbs were all weakening. I have been asked to read one more. Text 21st. Translation: Furious Chanura attacked Lord Vasudev with the speed of a hawk and struck his chest with both fists. Purport: It appears that Chanura, realizing he was being defeated, became furious and made a final attempt to defeat Lord Krishna. The demon certainly had the spirit of a good fighter, but if he hoped for victory, he was certainly in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong person. Hare Krishna. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nithi Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurat Vishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Chagatpati. Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute. Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari. Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripye. Vancha Kalpataru Vescha Krupa Sindho Bhevcha. Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So here we can see that Lord Krishna and Balaram, they are marching towards Kansa, and there they have been encountering with sometimes different opponents, sometimes those became favorable out of various reasons, some became favorable out of fear, some out of love. So Krishna is relishing various rasas here in these pastimes, both Krishna and Balaram. And when we have been hearing for last so many days from different devotees, how when Balaram and Krishna entered Mathura, Akrura brought them, and the very first day they decided to take a tour of Mathura city to understand what is happening here, what are the things Kansa has strategically kept. And the first person they encountered was washerman. But of course he was generous. He gave the clothes and in that way he received mercy. Now washerman did not give the clothes. He opposed actually. So Krishna had to kill him. And with the fingertips he just touched his head and head was cut. That was the first beginning. So after seeing that, others were also a little scared that these two children, they appear to be quite strong. They are not ordinary children. So when the next person came, tailor, he stitched the cloths for Lord Krishna. And Krishna also gave his mercy, and he achieved Sarupya Mukti, same form as the Lord in Vaikuntha Loka. Just by small service, little bit favorable, and he could get that kind of liberation, which is not possible after so much of austerities and tapasya, so much of charity. So in that way, Lord Krishna was showing that how somebody is favorable, what is a great benediction one can achieve, ultimate perfection of one's life, going back to Godhead, achieving different kinds of liberation. So he was showing in this pastime. Then came Sudama the florist. He offered wonderful garlands to Lord Krishna and Balaram. And he also achieved so many benedictions. Long duration of life, prosperity, lot of wealth. So whatever according to their settled desires, Lord Krishna was reciprocating. Krishna also tells in Bhagavad Gita, "Ye tha mam prapadyante, tam sateva bhajami." As one approaches me, I reward him accordingly. So Krishna could detect that kind of sincere desire to serve in a small capacity, and he can give the greatest benediction. So in that way, he was showing his prowess. Krishna was showing his prowess. And then later on they went to that arena where that great bow was kept. And lot of guards were there who were like guarding. And they were resisting Lord Krishna and Balaram to approach that, because it was kept for some special purpose. So Krishna and Balaram, they pushed away all the guards, and Krishna took that bow and strung it. Strung so hard that it broke into two pieces. And it made a huge tumultuous sound. And in that way, it was indicated to Kansa that there is now fear for him. He was very scared, because he had sent so many demons to Mathura to kill Krishna, but nobody returned alive. They were all dead. They achieved different kinds of liberation sometimes. So here it was happening in the city of Mathura, where Kansa was stationed. He was king there, and he thought that maybe if I bring Krishna and Balaram to my own field, in my own land, then there is some chance of victory. Sometimes it happens in sports, right? They think that maybe in my homeland our team will be victorious. And then there is a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of curiosity. But Kansa and his two, Chanura and Mushtika, they did not realize that Mathura is actually Krishna's hometown. Right? Because Krishna was born there. So they were completely unaware that he would be victorious. And of course Krishna also relishes this kind of rasas with them if they want to fight very valiantly. So Krishna also takes that kind of pleasure. And here we can see that they were now encountering with Chanura and Mushtika. Before that they kill Kualapida elephant, which came in front of the gate, and Krishna effortlessly pulled his trunk and killed him. So now was the semi-final. Right? We can understand easily. So these two giants, in fact, we can say, huge muscular bodybuilders, very strong. We cannot compare. Krishna and Balaram were just mere children in front of them. Maybe 10 and a half years old almost. And they are now face to face with these two huge, almost monsters. And they were huge, tall and strong actually. So when such kind of encounter was going to take place, there were a lot of people in the audience, and especially the ladies of Mathura. They were very disturbed because they were thinking that this is completely unfair, that these two children have to fight with these two huge bodybuilder giants. This is completely unfair. And they were telling so many things that there is no principle of justice. Principle of justice has already left this place. Because how can this king, Kansa, set a match between these two? How can he send these kind of two people to fight with these two children? There is no chance of victory. They were very scared, and they were talking so much. And of course, Krishna and Balaram, they are not ordinary children. They are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For them, there is no fear. In fact, the fear personified fears the Supreme Lord. So, here these two people are coming, charging at Krishna and Balaram. And in the beginning it was described that how they were attacking each other, fist to fist, knees to knees, chest to chest, and they are like just pushing each other. Krishna, Chanura decided that he will fight with Krishna, and Mushtika was to fight with Balaram. And in this way they were like nothing in compared with these two giants. But of course Krishna is the supreme person. He was taking that pleasure of fighting with these two people. And he knew that he is going to kill them. But he was taking so much pleasure, giving that kind of joy in the hearts of devotees. Because in the devotee's heart, there was so much anxiety whether what is going to happen now. Who is going to win and who is going to lose. So that time, they started fighting. And here it is explained that Lord Krishna, he struck Chanura with his fist many times. And it was like a lightning bolt upon Chanura. Lightning sometimes falls on the mountain, and some parts of the mountain they break. So here Krishna's blows were like huge lightning bolts on the body of Chanura, and he was getting hit like anything, and he was getting pain actually, because Krishna can be lighter than the lightest and heavier than the heaviest. And Krishna's one blow was quite strong actually. It appeared to everyone that Krishna is just with his small fist is just hitting him. But that blow was like huge for this Chanura. And he was feeling huge pain, fatigue, and just feeling tired. And Krishna was like continuing. Then somehow there he gathered his wits again, and he thought that let me again try to attack Krishna. And it is explained that just like a hawk tries to swoop on another hawk, similarly Chanura attacked Krishna. But of course for Krishna it was like a garland thrown on an elephant. Krishna did not move at all, did not budge at all, even an inch, even a millimeter. He just accepted that. And then what happened actually? Then Krishna held the hands of Chanura and started whirling him. Can you imagine what kind of velocity it must be rotating? And it is explained that Chanura lost his life by centrifugal force. Now what is this centrifugal force? Those who are from the science background, they may know that when a object is rotated in a circular motion, then a particular type of force is created externally on the object, right? So as long as it is held with the center, particular type of force is exerted on the object, which tries to throw the object away from the center. That is a centrifugal force. And it is mathematically, it is explained that mv square upon r something. M is the mass, v is the velocity, r is the radius. So mass was constant, the radius is also constant, and the velocity. Now, velocity depends upon velocity decides what kind of centrifugal force it will be. And if he has to die, then the velocity has to be huge, right? So Krishna was whirling like anything, that Chanura demon. And he died because of this centrifugal force. Can you imagine? The life air is suspending, the soul is suspending in the life airs by panchat vayu, subtle vayus. So that has to come out of his body somewhere. So Krishna was like whirling so that life air comes out of his body. So that kind of force Krishna was exerting. And in that way, Chanura died. So this is the power of centrifugal force of Krishna. Krishna is using that kind of technique to kill a demon. And of course now modern scientists have invented this centrifugal force and they are using that to pump the water and all. That is another thing. But this was a technique Krishna used to kill Chanura. So in that way he killed this demon. And Balaram was encountering with Mushtika. And he was also, Balaram is ultimately Balaram. He is the strength. He is the source of all strength. Nayam bala atmahinena chalabhya. Without the mercy of Lord Balaram, one cannot make advancement in spiritual life. So Balaram was, he's also so strong. And he was also pounding Mushtika. He was also hitting him very hard. And in compare with this huge, strong, muscular person, Balaram was also appeared to be very young and small and very tender. But he was hitting him. And this Mushtika was trembling. Can you imagine? Mushtika, such a huge person, he started trembling in front of Balaram. And he started vomiting blood out of his mouth. And in that way he died. So that is that kind of fear he felt. That he was trembling, although he had so huge strength. But in front of Balaram he was scared actually, because he was hit so badly. So it is explained that the fear factor is quite important to understand here, because Krishna and Balaram were not afraid of anything. In fact, everyone is afraid of them. They are the Supreme Lord. There is no fear for them. They may appear to be huge, giant, strong people. But ultimately, they are the Supreme Personalities. For them, there is no fear. And for all other people in this mortal world, there is always fear. And especially in the mortal world, the greatest fear is a fear of death. Because at death, everything is taken away. People are very scared about even discussing about that, whether to discuss it or not. And they postpone. They don't want to discuss such thing, that they think that no, we don't want to discuss about death. We want to leave some more time. But death is coming. And these two wrestlers, they were quite confident that they will be victorious. Because after killing Kuvela Pida, that elephant, they challenged Lord Krishna and Balaram. They thought that this elephant is nothing. They killed elephant, that's okay, fine. But we are more stronger than the elephant. They had still that kind of pride, that kind of arrogance. So they had challenged in that way. But when they started realizing that yes, now our death is coming closer, then they became afraid. They understood that their strength is nothing in compared to the strength of these two children. And Mushtika, he became so afraid. He was trembling in front of Balaram. So there is a very nice realization His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj got after seeing certain phenomena in this material world. So we try to narrate that. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he was on his journey to India and spiritual journey. He was going to various places and trying to realize many things. So in Nepal, at one place, Bodhnath, in the middle of forest somewhere, he was sitting and meditating. He had closed his eyes and it was a field in the middle of the forest, and he was just sitting and meditating. So he heard the sound of footsteps, boots, somebody, person walking near him. Huge boots he was stamping and walking, and he opened his eyes and saw that there was a big, tall person, European, strong, muscular, very strong person. And in his hand there was a bag of grocery, vegetables and a lot of things, bananas, and he came and he was standing there. So Maharaj, of course, he closed his eyes again and started meditating. He didn't give any attention to this person. So then after some time, Maharaj heard screeching sound of monkeys. So Maharaj again opened the eyes and he saw that there were 10-12 monkeys, small monkeys, and they came around this giant European person and started encircling this person. And in a very strategic position they were standing and started screeching at this person. And they were little behind and they were just making certain movements just to attack this person, but they were not attacking. And this person was holding his grocery bag in his hand and was standing very powerfully. He was thinking that now I will drive away all these monkeys. And they were like making teeth, showing faces and looking into his eyes, staringly, very fearful looks they were giving to this person. They were green-eyed. And he was blue-eyed. And he thought that he just went down. He took a one big stone and made a huge sound, and he wanted to whirl at these monkeys. And these monkeys, they became more furious. And they just jumped little bit, one step ahead, all of them. And this person, Maharaj was telling, he could not believe what happened next. This person silently came down that stone and he started trembling. This huge muscular person in front of all these 10-12 monkeys, he was trembling. And he was just very scared what will happen, what they will do. And one monkey came and he very effortlessly took the bag out of his hands. No problem. And they just went. And they were like feasting on that bag and all the grocery and bananas and everything. And as soon as this person saw that they were like busy with their business, he just ran away from that place. So Maharaj was telling that yes, this is a fear. I mean, this person was, although he was so strong, but he was afraid of these monkeys. And then Maharaj again closed his eyes and again was meditating. Then, after some time, he again opened the eyes. He saw that there was one Nepali boy. One small Nepali boy, he came and he took one stone and he drove away all the monkeys with one stone. And they left that grocery bag and all the monkeys were 100 feet away and they were just in the bushes somewhere hiding and watching. And this Nepali boy came near to Maharaj and he offered one bunch of bananas, a dozen of bananas. And he was speaking some language which Maharaj could not understand. And Maharaj was saying, no, I don't want. I don't want this banana. You keep, you eat. But he was not able to understand why he's not accepting these bananas. He was giving, offering, please take banana. So then afterwards he just left and Maharaj was telling that he was observing the movements of these monkeys. As this boy was offering these bananas to Maharaj, they were like very eager now. Now we have some hope again. And some other this boy could not understand that Maharaj doesn't want bananas. He just left it and he went away. And then again these monkeys came. But Maharaj just threw away all the bananas and gave to these monkeys and they went away. So then Maharaj was telling that what kind of lesson Lord wants to reveal through this story, through this incident. So Maharaj was telling that monkeys have some kind of sense to understand fear in the minds of other people. And they could understand that this giant, European big bodybuilder, he had fear in his heart. So they could detect that he was very afraid. And they took advantage of that. They understood that there is a fear. So they were not afraid then. They became more stronger. They became more aggressive. But in the case of that Nepali boy, they could understand that that small boy is not afraid. There is no fear in his heart. Because he was from that land only and he was not afraid of these monkeys. He had a small, maybe small size stone. He just could drive away all these monkeys. So, Maharaj was telling that, therefore, when we are not afraid in this material world of the dangers, especially of death, then we'll not have any kind of fear. And who can become fearless? One who takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. At his lotus feet there is no fear. Abhaya charna ravindra bhajahure mana shri nanda nanda abhaya charna ravindra. So one who takes shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, for him there is no fear. And one who has not taken shelter, he may be physically strong, maybe materially wealthy or very beautiful or so much knowledge, or but if that person has not taken shelter of the Supreme Lord, there'll be always fear, because somebody will take away his all the wealth, opulences. Some time it has to be given. But person who has taken shelter of the Supreme Lord, he understands that death is not the end. Sometimes people feel that at death everything ends. But person who has taken shelter, he understands that after death there is life. And one can go back home, back to Godhead, and achieve the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. There is eternal life. And one will be able to serve the Supreme Lord. So that is a higher understanding. One will not lose anything at the time of death. If one has invested his time, energy in serving the Supreme Lord, then definitely Lord will reward him after death or even in this lifetime. So therefore, for a devotee, there is no fear. So here also we can see that this kind of understanding was given by Srila Prabhupada, whose name is also Abhay Charan. The lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And Srila Prabhupada also had complete faith in the holy name. He was also very fearless. There was no fear in his heart. And one may just think that how somebody can go to Western world with just mere 40 rupees in his pocket and at such old age, one may be very afraid that I may die on the journey on the boat. But Srila Prabhupada had taken complete shelter, and therefore Lord was protecting him. So similarly, anybody who takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and especially in the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare, for him there is no fear. So this process is very, very powerful. And as one practices, then one can develop deep faith in the Supreme Lord's protection. Sometimes we may have superficial understanding of Krishna consciousness, whether Lord will protect me physically or my wealth will be protected. Some kind of, we have our concept of protection. But Supreme Lord protects our soul, protects our devotional progress. So now maybe in the next few verses we'll see that what happens next. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions or comments? Yes, somebody else. Here's a question.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Proji, for such a wonderful class. I had a question that in lecture I have heard that spiritual knowledge is revealed only under circumstances. When the situation comes, only you get the realization. Is it this way, or is it by again reading it or hearing it we cultivate the knowledge?
No, the last sentence we just clearly speak.
I heard in a lecture that the knowledge of Gita is revealed only in certain situations which are there in our life. Or is it again and reading it again and again we are able to get the knowledge?
It depends upon our eagerness to understand the knowledge. We may hear, read, but if we are not eager to go deeper, then it will not be revealed. We'll have theoretical understanding, definitely, but if you have to get a practical realization, one has to really take shelter of the Supreme Lord. Right? Sometimes we may take shelter in the external way, sometimes it may appear. But the real test is what is within, how much shelter we have taken really from within. That will determine. So therefore, we have to develop that eagerness, that kind of surrender we need to develop. Consciously we have to surrender. Then we will realize, sometimes we have to, sometimes we may sacrifice some certain things, or we may perform certain austerities to make progress. But again, those attachments will again develop if we are not carefully removed them. So therefore one has to be quite determined to take shelter of the Lord, and not to again fall back, in the sense that if you have decided, okay, I will follow these regulative principles, so one has to follow that very carefully. So in that way one can make progress. There may be different type of tests may come. So if you have taken shelter, then, and if you are regularly doing it, sadhana is you are more conscious of your sadhana, you are trying to practice it more sincerely in the association of devotees, then it will help. When the actual test comes, then it will help. Otherwise, if you are not strong, then at the time of test, you become more weak. So one has to become more stronger. But that does not mean that one becomes tough, in the sense that one becomes hard-hearted. Sometimes following certain strict vows or strict rules and regulations, one may become more tough, or in the sense that one may become more hard-hearted. When it is not, Krishna consciousness is not to lose emotions. One has to develop finer emotions. And for that one has to be determined. So that understanding will develop when we are carefully following everything. So that will be revealed when Krishna sees the sincerity within. When he sees that, yes, somebody is really sincerely practicing. So when Krishna detects that, then he will reveal things. And nobody can cheat Krishna. So therefore, when Krishna sees that we are really sincerely praying to him, we are really crying to receive his mercy, then he will take note of it. So therefore, it's a process. There is a process is perfect. And if you keep practicing, you will, when you are trying to develop that more sincerity within, you will feel, yes, there is, it's working. Krishna is reciprocating with me. So, and when when Krishna will reward that we don't know. Krishna can give that higher understanding within one moment. Or it may take many lifetimes. We should be ready for that. We should not think that now this is the last life I have. And after this lifetime I am 100% going back home, back to God. There is no guarantee. If Krishna wants us to stay in the material world for many, many lifetimes, we should be happy. We should not think that now I become brahmachari. Now next life I'll be dancing with Krishna. This may not happen. Krishna wants us to come back again So, but the process is perfect, that we must know, that Krishna can make one lifetime, 100 lifetimes, or 100 lifetimes, one lifetime. He can change anything. Because ultimately he is the time. So this process works on the different platform, actually, on a different dimension. So therefore, if we are practicing sincerely, then Krishna will reciprocate. Some time you will realize, yes, it's working. We have to just continue it sincerely. Yeah? Okay. Yes, some more.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you very much. Bahut achha aapne explanation diya. My question is, when the Kans was seeing all these things happening, like the death of Kavalyapeed, why he was not getting a notice of the strength of the Lord? And was he sincerely trying to be getting killed by the hands of the Lord? He was such an intelligent king, ultimately. He should have taken the notice of it.
First of all, one grammatical thing, not the Kans. He was getting notice, definitely. The previous night he was having nightmare. So definitely he was getting notice. He saw, when he saw the reflection in his reflection in the mirror, he did not see head in the mirror. He was driven by donkey's chariot or something. So he was getting that indication, bad omens, and but somehow there he was so much covered over. And he had Krishna had come for that specific purpose, to kill him. There was no question of him to surrender to Krishna at this moment, because that was the rasa between Krishna and Kans, that Krishna wanted to fight with him. Krishna wanted to actually liberate him. And in fact, he was so intensely remembering Krishna. Srila Narad Muni explains in 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that the intense remembrance caused by the envious person towards Lord Krishna is more than the devotee who is favorable. The person who is more envious of the Supreme Lord, the intensity with which he was meditating upon Lord Krishna, it was huge, it was too much. Constantly he was remembering that Chakrapani, Chakradhar, who is having the disc in his hand. We also don't remember, right? We had to chant so many times just to think about Krishna. But still, our mind is wandering here and there. But he was fully focused. He was like so remembering, absorption, more absorption, deep absorption. So he was so much absorbed that he was seeing four-handed form of Lord continuously. That was so much out of fear, actually. So, and of course Krishna, whenever he has killed any demon, he has not sent them to any Yamaloka. He has given them benedictions, liberations. And Kans also got Sarupya Mukti. He also achieved the similar features as that of Lord Narayan. So, therefore, it was, although he was getting indications, but at that time he was completely under the illusory potency of the Lord. That he was thinking that Krishna is my enemy. And my death has come. He understood. My death has come. He saw that Kuvelapida is dead. Chanura and Mushtika, huge people, wrestlers. He thought that now these two people are sufficient for Krishna and Balaram. But they died pathetically. So now was a final match. So we'll see that in the future. Hare Krishna. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki.